Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. With the Arkansas River at its highest level in 47 years in Pine Bluff, leaving hundreds of homes there swamped, Governor Bill Clinton has told angry farmers there should be an investigation of Army Corps of Engineers flood control techniques. Farmers in the Red River Valley, which is now also flooded, say the Corps should have released more water from reservoirs over the winter. About 15,000 head of cattle are stranded there without food. In Texas, National Guardsmen are sandbagging Red River levees. In Liberty, Texas, the rising Trinity River threatens the home of Jesse Glenn, who refuses to evacuate with his wife and dog. Instead, he's on guard for looters.
I have to watch because this is everything that I have. I've got my life savings sunk in this thing here, and, well, I have to watch out for it.
What, do you have a shotgun or a big dog or what?
I've got the small dog, and I've got a shotgun. Yes, sir, I have. And I've got plenty of boats to get in and out with down here.
Have you had to chase anybody off yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
What happens when the water gets so high that you're going to have to leave the house?
I'm not going to leave the house. I've got a two-story house. I'm moving upstairs.
Officials in southeast Texas are worried that when the Trinity River crest reaches Lake Livingston, they could face one of the worst floods of this century. The Washington Post today quotes a senior White House official as saying Democrats are free to propose tax increases to close the growing federal budget gap, but that President Bush will veto them. If that hard line reflects Mr. Bush's thinking, it could sour the atmosphere of bipartisan budget talks that begin next Tuesday. More from Rob Armstrong.
Congressional reaction to the deficit-reducing budget summit ranged from a low-key, non-committal approach by top Democrats to praise for the president from top Republicans. But it did not take more than a few hours before the partisan rhetoric was hot and heavy. Democratic Congressman Robert Wise of West Virginia.
What happened, Mr. President? He gave Congress a budget in January, said nothing for 4 months, offered no changes, and finally offered no budget.
Some Republicans were quick to urge the president to stand firm on the tax question. Senator William Armstrong of Colorado.
It doesn't take any brains and it doesn't take any courage to raise taxes. We've done that every year since we can't remember. Question is whether or not we have enough horse sense to find a way to solve the problem without raising taxes. And we think that's possible, and we encourage the negotiators to do it.
The budget summit begins on Tuesday, and from the intensity of feelings voiced yesterday, the negotiators will face at least as many political obstacles as economic pitfalls. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The time now, 3 past the hour. Aviation bureaucrats in the Philippines are taking strong measures against intruding jetliners, most recently forcing down an American jumbo jet bound for Singapore. Maggie Sterner has that.
The chartered Northwest jet left Tokyo Wednesday night headed for Singapore with 45 passengers. It never got there. According to the Philippine Air Force, the plane wandered into the country's airspace without the proper permit. Several days ago, a Japanese cargo plane did the same thing and was also forced to land. According to U.S. Embassy officials, this is unusual. They say they're still trying to find out whether it was a miscommunication. Northwest Airlines General Manager Bruce Barnhill says they're not quite sure why this happened.
We can't seem to get very many straight answers out of the Philippine government.
After 16 hours on the ground, the plane headed back to Tokyo. No one on the flight was injured, but all the passengers stayed behind to continue their vacation in the Philippines. Maggie Sterner for CBS News, Manila.
China's official Xinhua news agency reports the release of 211 protesters arrested in last year's pro-democracy movement. They include a leading journalist and several famous academics. There was another kind of student protest in Beijing, and as John Sheehan tells us, it had more to do with pocketbooks than democracy.
Chinese demonstrators laid siege to the Australian embassy in Beijing today, protesting that they're being fleeced by unscrupulous colleges. The Australian schools collected tuition in advance and have not refunded the money to applicants who were denied visas. Last year, the Australian government actively supported the sale of English courses to Chinese. The Beijing embassy boasted that it had 30,000 applications. Visas were routinely issued by mail. But the government changed its policy out of fear that the Chinese would not leave Australia. In recent months, 16,000 applications for visas have been rejected. Chinese protesters at the embassy claimed that $60 million has not been refunded. Some Australian schools have reportedly threatened to file bankruptcy rather than give back the money. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beijing.
A cyclone packing winds up to 155 miles an hour has killed at least 65 people as it carved a path of destruction through southeast India. In East Germany, grassroots jitters over job security under reunification has led to a half-day wave of worker strikes. John Holland reports.
With social and currency union only 7 weeks off, a wave of warning strikes and protests hit East Germany today, especially among teachers and farmers. Their demand, protection against arbitrary firings, fewer working hours, and recognition of their educational degrees by West German employers. Teachers and kindergartners in several cities, including East Berlin, carried banners calling for guarantees which West German officials say will be nearly impossible to fulfill. Farmers also blocked several East German border crossings where food was being imported by West German producers. After 40 years of a fragile but guaranteed cradle-to-grave social security, many of East Germany's 10 million workers are learning, often painfully, that unification with West Germany has its drawbacks. John Holland for CBS News, East Berlin.
The World Health Organization has shelved indefinitely the latest membership application by the Palestine Liberation Organization. It acted under U.S. threats to withdraw vital funding. New strains today in U.S.-Israeli relations. Foreign Minister Moshe Arens, speaking on Israeli radio, criticized the United States for what he called coordinating with Arab states in drafting a U.N. resolution opposing settlement of Soviet Jews in occupied areas. Arens, who summoned U.S. Ambassador William Brown to listen to the protest, indicated relations had reached a low point. Coming up on 8 past 7. Because of an arithmetic error, astronomers will have to wait a bit longer for a close-up of the Milky Way taken from space. Bruce Hall has more.
The long-awaited first picture from the Hubble telescope has been delayed again, this time for at least a week, as engineers continue to test and focus the giant telescope. Discovery astronaut Charles Bolden said, "We must be patient.
Bear with us, because the orbital verification phase, which makes Hubble useful for what the purposes for which it was built, is a long, tedious process."
The Hubble delay is not the only delay facing NASA. The space agency is pushing back the next launch of the shuttle at least 2 weeks until the end of May or the first part of June, so a portion of a malfunctioning shuttle cooling system can be replaced. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Atlanta.
The staff of the Senate Judiciary Committee is reporting nearly 2.2 million Americans are hardcore cocaine addicts. That is three times the official government estimate. The dollar is mixed overseas. The London gold fixing is up a quarter at $371 an ounce. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 10.14 at 2743.01. Big board volume, 28,700,000 shares. Time on the roundup, 10 past 7.